Across the annals of time, there emerge individuals whose essence transcends the confines of age and era. They are the forebearers of wisdom, the custodians of empathy, and the architects of understanding. We speak of those rare souls who effortlessly transverse the chasms of generational differences, weaving bridges where others see only divide. These luminaries, dear listeners, are what we call the last of us. In a world often defined by generational gaps and biases, the last of us stand as a beacon of unity and compassion. They possess the profound ability to comprehend the nuances of each generation's narrative, to decipher the language of tradition and innovation alike. Unbound by the shackles of temporal constraints, they navigate the ever-shifting currents of human experience with grace and dignity. These extraordinary beings are not mere mortals. They are emissaries of connection, ambassadors of empathy. Theirs is a sacred duty to bridge the chasm between generations, to nurture understanding where discord once reigned. Through their deeds and words, they remind us that beneath their veneer of generational labels lies the timeless essence of our shared humanity.
Connection established, systems nominal. Initiating firing sequence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to the GHG podcast, Granite, Henny, and Jess. We wanted to jump on today's episode to further break down our pivot. You know, as you know, we're now talking about generational differences and those nuances that you find between millennials, the Gen X, Gen Zs, and all of that. And you might have heard us signal toward The Last of Us. You know, so we want to break down what The Last of Us is. Who are referring to every time we say The Last of Us. So that's what I wanted to do on this episode, just so, you know, everybody's on the same page. All right, but before we do that, who saw Kai in Nigeria? Do you know Kai, right? The streamer?
Yeah.
The Twitch streamer.
He came to Nigeria with Davido, right? He was chilling with Davido.
Yeah, he came chilling with Davido. Now you have to understand, for me, this is like the leader of the Gen Zs. For me, he's like, you tell me he's like the leader, the crown leader is like, he just does this and he'll just follow. That's who that guy is, right? You know, so it was exciting to see that, oh, okay, this guy is actually, you know, flying around trying to, you know, I guess trying to spread his Gen Z seed. you know, because I heard he found one. There was this like YouTube thing they did where he had to select babes and everything. So I think he settled on this babe called Chisom. He had to be an Igbo babe. He had to be an Igbo babe.
He had to come and see.
Yeah.
So that's why he came to Nigeria.
He came. It was a whole YouTube thing. Select babe. You know, they taught him how to bargain in the market. You know, they taught him how to price shit in the market, because apparently that's an important skill to learn. You know. Then, you know, he chilled with Davido as well. So that was exciting to see.
Exciting for who?
No, I mean, it's just an exciting...
For him, like, right?
Yeah, just let's involve Nigeria in this conversation.
I kept trying to figure out when somebody sent me the video. I was like, okay, who's this guy? He's a Twitch streamer.
He's a Twitch streamer. But he's not just a Twitch streamer. He's the Twitch streamer, guys.
So I went to some of my videos and then I understood. I was like, oh, this thing is crazy.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, when you're listening to the podcast, you're trying hard to make sense of what the aim of the podcast is. Mm. But it was mad though, because he's just laughing and he's not fooling him to laugh.
He's just excited.
He's just excited.
I'm like, you can't be as... way too excited. And I'm like, Okay, I mean, I see the appeal. Yeah, but
last last game because of Chiso.
Yeah, he came before. He came because of Chisholm.
And then he went to meet Amaka's husband.
Apparently, the baby he chose had a you know, situationship. Apparently, so it was quite heartbreaking for Kai.
Situationship.
Yeah. Moving on, I think something we have to talk about, you know, seeing as well on these generational battles discussion, right, is the Tyson and Jake Paul fight. I've been wanting to talk about this last week, but definitely, who's your money on, bro? Who's your money on, Tyson or Jake Paul? Now, just before you make that make your answer, just know that Jake is 27.
Yeah,
right. He has a total of nine wins, one loss.
Okay.
Tyson is 57.
57
with 50 wins and six losses. Right. Who's your money 50, on? 50 baby?
Wins and six losses.
50 wins and six losses. Nigga is at 57. Our boy Jake is at 27, representing all the Gen Z. He's carrying all the Gen Z's behind him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't look further than Tyson. I can't look.
Money's on Tyson?
I don't just...
Even at 50?
Yes, I mean, he is old. I mean, there is that. But that's the thing, even with Tyson being old. Like, look, I might be completely wrong and Tyson might get his ass whooped, but that's just how much of a legend Tyson is. Like, even if he were 80, my money would still be on him.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, true. I, fair enough.
My money, because I'm like that, he might just, you know...
Yeah.
He might just know how
just
to get it done.
Just
how
do
to
something.
Get, just how to get the job done. Yeah, but my money's on Tyson. I mean, 57. There are a lot of strong 57-year-old men out there. What are you saying? Isn't that, if you're hitting the gym and you know you're keeping fit? Yeah. I don't see why.
Have you seen some of the videos of him training? Now again, I don't believe almost anything on the internet. It could have been edited or whatever. But bro, I'm seeing the guy hitting the pads in the gym. I'm like, this guy is dead now. No, if this is him working out, because I've been following Jake Paul for a while. Like, I've seen some of his fights.
Mm.
You know, they're calm, they're cool. I've seen some of his training sessions. Mm. You know, they're okay.
They're okay.
You know, nothing out of the ordinary.
It's not heavyweight. It's not heavyweight standard.
Bro, I saw clips of this 57-year-old man hitting the pad. And I'm like, bro, wait, no. There's something wrong, guy. That man has too much anger in him. That man has too much anger.
Just based off what he is. God damn it. I can't look beyond Tyson. Can't look beyond Tyson, man.
Okay, so wait, just quickly. You remember in Naruto when the Hokages were reincarnated, when they were brought back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had to fight the new guys.
He had to fight the symbol of ultimate evil,
yes.
Uchiha Madara.
No, but even what was their comments on the new generation? Because I know it was kind of the old guys coming back to see what the new ninjas are like and, you know, how the progress they've...
Well, disappointment. They were disappointment.
It was utter disappointment. Do you think that's what we're going to see on July 20th?
I mean, we're not really expecting much from the Gen Z, so it's different. It's not like we're expecting much from them. So if he survives a couple of rounds, that's he did fine. He survives a couple of rounds.
Okay, so let's just say it is for entertainment and he survives.
I mean, three rounds, four rounds. I mean it is for entertainment, and I don't know if it's scripted.
Yeah, hands down, it is scripted.
Okay, so
there's no way you can tell me that shit is scripted. There's no way.
Exactly. So if it is scripted, and you know, Tyson with his experience will probably... First of all, do you think there's any possibility that in the script Tyson loses?
Yeah, so if we want to proper, because again, the...
Because
the
if it's scripted,
youth,
then,
the youth is the they're the leaders of tomorrow, right? So if we want to prop up these Gen Zs as the world up so much, we've ruined everything, we failed. It's your turn, guys. It is your turn to come in and fix all our mistakes, right? Picture we're trying to paint,
I don't
now,
think anybody's trying to
paint. It will be scripted for him to win.
I don't think there's any organization in the world that has that picture painted in anywhere in their goal about leaving the future of the world to the Gen Zs.
We might not have a choice.
I mean, by default, it will fall to them. But I don't think there's anybody actively getting ready to hand this shit over.
Kai might disagree too. Kai might disagree too.
What are you talking about? I mean, they do have their areas, but when you talk about sports, and sport, one thing about sports is integrity. And that integrity is something, you know, it's something that you know, the older generations really, really, you know, they hold in high regards, you know, the integrity of the sport. And for a sport like boxing, I mean, come on. I mean, we know at the higher levels, these things do happen. But for something like this, if you're trying to, yeah. if you're trying to use this match as a way to usher in the era of the Gen Z, the new coming generation, I'm afraid the sport is going to take a hit. It's going to take a serious hit because, and this is I think it's going to take a serious hit because at the end of the day, the spending power of the Gen Zs, forget that, you know, they have people like Kai and some other of them, and there are a bunch of them that are rich. But the spending power of the Gen Zs across board is not enough for the investors, that the people that invested in this sport, you understand, to want to keep it going. You understand? So they have the benefits and the financial benefits from the sports come from the millennials and the generation.
Yeah, exactly. That is true.
If you try to pull something that is not going to sit well with the other people, you just lose. People just be like, oh, is that what this is now? You guys fixing fights now? Mm. Yeah, the only thing I think will happen is Tyson has to win and he'll just have to use his experience. If they scripted, even if it's scripted, the script will be more like, don't knock him out in the first round.
Please.
Please don't knock him out in the first
round. Honestly, if there's any kind of script, say, I beg. Like, people paid a lot of money to watch this fight.
So.
Netflix is on board with this fight. Just do your best
not to, knock
to just knock the guy out. Just after the third round. Let's not have a repeat of the Joshua fight.
Let's not have a repeat of the Joshua fight. Just try your best to not knock him out in the first 10 seconds.
No, man.
That's the only script I think that would be going down.
It literally feels like first Hokage is has come in and he's just staring at who would I use? Who would I use as Jin?
Boruto.
Boruto is like,
not even Naruto, wait, Boruto is
you
like,
want
what?
To challenge me to a fight? Okay, let's see how that goes.
So yeah, but I mean it is for entertainment after all said and done. So
yeah.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things in the ever ongoing battle between these Gen Zs and every other generation, because they're battling millennials, they're battling the baby boom, they're battling everybody.
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 So moving on to the main topic of today, guys. You know, we wanted to elaborate on The Last of Us. Who do we refer to when we say The Last of Us? You know, as you know, we've pivoted to this discussion about how there are no more large changes or, you know, evolutions when it comes to technology. For example, if you've noticed, there's been a slowdown in new tech coming out. I think the hypest thing is AI, but then AI has been in the works for the last, 10-15 years. Still the millennials that started it, right? You know, we've had this discussion of how for us millennials, right, we were kind of digital pioneers. That we were the ones that started, you know, building the infrastructure that the internet runs on right now. Like most of the social media apps, you know, people are using now. Instant messaging was a thing, you know, with us and everything. But you see, this the new gen, they're more of nomads, right? So they sort of grew up in the technologies. Like, we set up all the infrastructure. It was like, yeah, look at all this shit. Then y'all just came in and just grew up with it. It's like, there's never been a more interconnected generation than the Gen Zs. Like, these guys can wake up and they're talking to, thousands of people from all across the world. And that's the experience on a daily basis, right? Because of, you know, the introduction of smartphones and how wide the internet is now. Almost everybody has a smartphone. You know, back then it was a bit different for us, right? For millennials, right? No, but still focused on The Last of Us. When we say The Last of Us, who are we referring to? I believe that there are people across every generation where you can literally take this person and you can throw them into whichever generation, whether it's the boomer generations. I'm talking about back in the time where it was knives, it was daggers people were using, bro.
And they'll thrive.
You can throw them into 100, 200 years from now and they will still thrive. Mm. They are those chosen people who, those generational nuances, see, all of that shit, it doesn't affect them at all. It's like they can fit in to any generation they find themselves, right? And that's what when I think of The Last of Us, that's what I think about, you know, when I think about The Last of Us. I don't know.
I mean, true. There will always be those people, the chosen ones. There will always be people that, it doesn't matter, they will always stand out. But here's the thing. Whichever generation you grow up in, it's society that shapes you. That's why you're Gen Z. You understand? So the reason you're Gen Z is because you grew up in that era. And so you're being shaped by, you know, society, your family, the current family values, you understand? you know, morality, mm-hmm. you know, laws, the presiding laws and all that, it shapes you. And then, you know, like you said, what is the trend? The trend of your era, it shapes you now. So it doesn't matter which era you were born in. If you were born in 19, during time of slave trade, no more, you'll be a slave. You'll be a slave. I was like, yeah, so that's why, like, you'll still be a slave. So it's not the individual. That's why I don't like to try to pick people and say, oh, this person will thrive in this generation. It's not about the individual. It's about the collective.
It's about the collective. True. But that's the thing. Which is why I'm singling out those special people.
Please. So you mean across the current existing generations?
No, across every generation.
Every generation.
There are those chosen people.
Because, guy, you know, go feel relate with the ones coming after Jennifer.
That's what I'm saying. You will be. Yeah, bro. Yeah. And here's why I think so, too. It's technology. There is technology. And again, because the millennials were sort of like the pioneers of, you know, this tech ecosystem that we have, that I feel like that's why we have a very important role. You know, because again, we're literally the last of a dying breed. We're the guys who saw these apps. We actually know what they're trying to do. Know these mental issues you guys think exist. We label them.
It's very pivotal. The millennials have a very key role to play with how the rest of this shapes up. Because understand, a millennial today is more connected to like the distance in terms of understanding each other. Mm-hmm. Like a millennial, it's very easy for a millennial to understand.
Yes, Gen okay. Z. So
that gap is shortening, and it only gets shorter. Gen Z and a Gen Alpha, there's no difference now. And what is closing that gap is technology.
So basically, what's basically happening is technology has reached a pivotal point where
it's no longer growing.
It's not growing anymore. That's so unless there's going to be a shift from technology and then something else, but
the Great Reset.
That's a different episode.
You understand?
The Great Reset.
Exactly. Yeah, so based on this that analogy of, you know, technology isn't improving anymore at the pivotal moment.
Yeah.
You understand? So that the generation that can actually move around every other generation. That's why I said it has to be within the confines of the existing generations.
But that's
weird. Yes, it has to be within the confines of
within the confines. Yes. Here's why I think I believe this, right? I've met old guys though. I'm my guys in their 60s. And bro, the way they relate with me and people even younger than me and, you know, rap with them. Obviously, these are probably people that have learned maybe through books and stuff. You know, maybe this is just not an innate skill. Maybe this is something you can actually learn. But I mean, like this guy knows, he understands. But he's like 65.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
He knows my problems, you're actually right.
There are some psychopaths.
Yes, exactly. This is why I know they are the last of us. Yeah, across every generation, there's the last of us.
You do have those people who they don't notice the generational shift.
No, they don't.
It's like they're existing. It's like they're existing in every generation at the same time.
Thank you.
Existed at the same time.
Oh my god. It's like, you know, boy, see, don't worry, I'm just human. It's human. I can plug into anything. Just don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, so
actually, now I kind of understand what you initially I thought you were talking about.
Within the Gen Zs.
Within the Gen Zs themselves. Yeah.
But even still within the Gen Zs, that's what I'm saying. You've heard when they say, that guy's an old soul.
There's an old soul. They actually do have some Gen Zs that are actually old souls.
Yeah.
Even popular ones. I think there's this Jordan guy I've seen. Yeah, the guy he actually looks old.
Oh, the Gen Z guy who's...
You don't understand? He embodies his own. He looks like an old soul.
He grew up with his grandparents.
Great grandparents.
Like, what the fuck? Let's build the perfect AI machine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so they are the last of us. So are you saying now that there are some last of us that are still even in the Gen Zs?
Yes.
There are some of them in the Gen Zs.
There are still some last of us that understand these issues on a different level and they don't let it, you know, phase them.
Firstborns.
I would say firstborns. Firstborns. Thank you. Firstborns, definitely. Especially firstborns in
black families.
In third world.
No, black families. Not third world, black families. Yeah, because, you know, they're not as free. You don't have as much liberty like you do. Like the black household has this thing where, you know, they still the whole hang on to family values, and how you should, you know, responsibility and all of that. So yeah, so you'd see a lot of the last of us in firstborns.
In firstborns, it shows up because understand you're navigating your Gen Alpha, you know, sister or brother, and also you're like a mediator, right, between your parents,
yeah,
and you know your Gen Alpha siblings, it's just, right? So it's like a thing.
one very unique trait. I mean, there are many traits of The Last of Us.
There are many traits. We'll break it down.
One unique trait is responsibility and burden. You understand? So if in any part of your childhood growing up, you had that burden of having to shoulder your other siblings, you understand, you know, and be responsible for them. And then, yeah, you probably do have... You have one of the few traits. So we should probably give a list of traits. The
Last of Us traits?
That people you have. And if you have this, then you know you're probably last.
For me, you have to be like water. To be The Last of Us, you have to be like water, bro. You just have to be able to fit in. Whatever vessel you find yourself in, you just take the shape of that vessel. Almost, you know? So you just have to be able to, like, understand the system very quickly. You understand what role you have to play, and you just play the role seamlessly. Like, I feel that's one of the traits of The Last of Us. Like, let's even break it down. It could be something as simple as a gathering, for example. You understand? A Last of Us in a gathering is always looking for how to add value. He's always looking for how to add value. It's like, okay, how do I fit into this puzzle? Like, I see the bigger picture. I see what is happening. How do I fit in? How can I improve it or make it better? I feel that's the mindset, you know, of a Last of Us.
Based on the creative angle, yes. As in, like, you know, like you said, we're digital pioneers. So, like, it was kind of, we're more about creating something from nothing. I mean, think about it now. I mean, when you were young, you didn't have a PlayStation, you didn't have the internet, you didn't have anything. But you were still catching fun.
Yeah.
You find a way to catch fun with a bunch of marbles on the floor.
Yeah.
And figure out what to do with those marbles. Like, you would sit down like this and be by yourself and entertain yourself with nothing. Like, your mind, you had to have a very explosive mind.
Very explosive.
As if you grew up in the 80s and the 90s, you had to have had a very explosive mindset to be able to entertain yourself. And that's why we were pioneers. You understand? Because... Now the new generation just has everything fed to them. You understand? So how to know that you're one of people? If you have that kind of mind where, you know, you look at something and, you know, you're seeing something else instead. You understand? They're not just going with the pack. It's one of the few traits.
A regular Da Vinci. Yes, a pure Da Vinci.
Exactly. So that's why I said in the creative aspect of it. But there's so much else with the social part of it. Like, somebody, if you don't understand respect, you can't say you're one of the Last of Us. So that's the problem. Why this? You see this, and that's one of the main, key determinants of whether you are the chosen one who can transcend generations you know, understand the generations. Because this is one thing that has been passed down from earlier generations down to the Last of Us. It's the Last of Us that still understand that respect.
Yeah.
After the last of us, the other ones don't understand.
What are you people talking about?
They don't understand. All they know is to be well mannered. You know, they understand your mannerism, but they don't understand respect. You understand? So if you can't be in a garden with people and not know how to respect them, you're not one of us.
You don't know. but quickly going back to your creative point, right? I do remember when they would take light, right? And I don't know whether this was training. You know, we've spoken about how trauma is important for you to be, for growth almost. It's sad, but that's the truth. Like, especially when you're trying to teach you something, that trauma is important, like, because it makes the lesson stick.
Yeah.
Because it was traumatic every time you were playing a video game, for example, and it took light. And understand, back then, memory cards were like this size. My nigga, they were like huge ass devices that were super expensive to get. You know, they were probably filled up every single time. If you were in the middle of saving your game and it took light, your file is corrupted. It was just a horrible experience. So you had to learn how to be so good at playing video games and finishing them in the 2 hours you're going to have light. I want you to understand, which is why I still feel we're better gamers. This is a different episode. I ain't gonna bring that beat here, but millennials, come on, OGs.
Man, no, listen, as long as you remove the Asians from it.
No, but it was crazy because those periods where they did take light, you know, apart from learning how to do things much quicker, more efficiently, because you know it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's like, now you've been traumatized. It's not, we didn't grow up experiencing 24-hour light. What am I saying? There are people that, I'm sure there are people now that probably they take light maybe an hour or 2 hours a day. That's all they understand.
Because they're looking at Nigeria. In other parts of the world,
they don't know what,
they don't even know what it is,
to not have power, right? And now, having a bunch of kids be creative, even in their storytelling. Remember when we gather around, we'll tell people stories, you know, expand the horizons of your mind, actually have that physical interaction, right? Now, that was I feel, a very pivotal part of the whole thing. That time when there's no lights, there's no battery-powered video games to play. It was just you
and your mind,
some sticks and some rocks on the ground. And they're like, yeah, you have to entertain yourself. See these sticks, see these rocks, see this sand. Find something entertaining to do. And you, and that's kind of when you grow up with that mindset as well. Yeah. It's kind of explosive. Mm-hmm. But
that's a very huge factor when it comes to the creative aspect. Their minds have not been forced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say a lot of Gen Z's in Nigeria, you know, still grow up without lights. I think one of the major reasons this is important as well, like, if you're somebody in business, just know that in the next 10 to 20 years, the people in your organization are mostly going to be Gen Zs, if you think about it, right? And it's important to know, in Nigeria, over 60% of our population is under the age of 30. Over 60. So just, I need you to understand, our Gen Z population is ripe. Like, we have a very youthful population in Nigeria. You understand? So you should be getting interested as to how to communicate with these guys, how these guys function, right? Because we didn't grow up, most of you guys, we didn't grow up with technology. We didn't grow up with, you know, talking to so many different people all at the same time. That wasn't our daily experience. So it is a completely alien thing.
I mean,
like, when you're trying to connect with somebody, it's like, yeah, no, Russ, if I send a tweet now, everybody knows. You understand? So you can't be mean to me, okay? I'm just gonna tweet that this is a gift. You understand? Yeah. It's a different experience, right?
I mean, yeah, but we actually did. The funny thing is, I'm still buttressing on the Last of Us point. Right now, as in, like, the current system that we're living in, the people that categorize as Last of Us, I'm talking about in society now. And yes, now, like, after all said and done, the Gen Zs came and they brought about a new war. You understand? So that's the way I look at it. I look at it like, shit was coming down from, you know, baby boomers, Generation X, and then it hit us. And then everything kind of, like, came to a halt during our time. You understand? So everything, like, it was just, like you said, focus on technology and all of that. And then the Gen Zs came. But there was nothing for us to transition into. Seriously, that's why I keep telling these people, like, people don't understand. Like, so, like, because there was, with every generation, there was something we were moving away from into something new. Moving away from where we got to, there was nothing new to move into. It just felt like the current existing thing just started getting corrupted.
Thank you. Thank you. And
you understand? So that's why it looks like there's this constant battle between the millennials and the Gen Zs. We're like, look, go get your own shit.
Stop
corrupting our own shit.
Thank you. This is a perfect segue. So one last thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that you keep seeing everything being repeated in terms of, even if it's a new app, movies.
Let's not even talk about the movies.
Like, no, I'm just saying there's a reason. And this is all heading toward the Great Reset, which we need to, that's a different episode. But again, I'm just going to hint at it. But there's a reason why, you know, all of your favorite shows are, you know, getting a remake.
Reboot.
You know, you're having a reboot. There's a reason it's happening right now. Like, they know everything is saturated. It's like, holy shit. As you said, there's nothing to transition. Like, this, like, we thought there'll be a new wave of things and problems. Like, no, this is it, guys. We've done all our best stuff already. Mm-hmm. We just need to go back and redo them again, right? So there's also that, you know, kind of thing happening. As you can see, Lion King, they redid Lion King. You know, one of the most impactful things.
What are you talking about? I haven't watched
the new one?
I haven't watched any really good movie in a very long time. I mean, Oppenheimer, maybe.
Oppenheimer was really good. Oppenheimer was really good, but again, we're talking about the past. Yeah, talking about something in the past. I'm talking, like, what are the original ideas?
No, they don't have. They don't.
What are the original ideas? Honestly, the hypest thing, it was K-pop and K-dramas. That's the hypest thing that's actually come out. That's, oh wow, this is a new phenomenon that's sprung up. Every other thing is just reboots. You know, and you know, that's one of the, I think, reason why, like, guys, you guys go figure out your own shit. Stop remaking our shit. And stop putting this cancel culture on our old thing, because you're going to remake our shit and do it with all these rules. And you're like, oh, yeah, that joke was insensitive. Remove that joke. That joke was insensitive. No, if you're going to remake it, remake it the way it actually was.
Agent Smith. The virus.
It's a virus.
Agent Smith.
It's a virus.
And it's the Wino Matrix and the Gen Z's Agent Smith.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, guys. You know, but yeah, anyways, people weren't as sensitive back then, right? So people could get away with a lot of jokes.
People could take a joke.
Yeah, no, a lot of jokes. Bro, there were some very dark jokes. I was looking at some cartoons, you know, back in the day. I was just looking at Ed and Eddie, Tom and Jerry. Bro, you guys don't understand. You guys don't understand the genius behind some of those cartoons. If you, because you know,
That's why you respect. You still have to respect.
That's why you still have to respect the OGs.
Even though people like Rick and Morty, that, you know.
No, Rick and Morty is too extreme. It's not for kids. That one is straight up not for kids. But I'm saying these guys were weaving episodes together where your kids can enjoy
and the parents can enjoy it too.
Loki is now I'm going back to watch those episodes. Yes. I'm like, there were some major inappropriate adult jokes in some of those cartoons. No,
they made it entertaining for both the adults and kids.
So now you're there, your parents are laughing. You don't even know why they are laughing, because they just made a reference to some nasty shit. But the kids are very unaware. They're very unaware of this. Bro, that's dead. That's dead. Now it's just the extreme. You have South Park, you have Family Guy, it's extreme. They're not trying to sugarcoat anything. They're like, this is an inappropriate joke. We're not trying to hide it. Right? But back then, these writers had a way of weaving this thing.
And those writers were not even millennials.
They weren't even millennials, which is why I said they're the last
they
of
were
us.
Generation X. They weren't even millennials.
They're these special people.
And they could, goddamn, those people could write nonsense.
Guy, I'm gonna play some of these guys. If you hear some of these jokes, they're like, there's no way my parents let me watch this. Forget even the verbal.
I'm talking about the visual, even the visual jokes.
Visual cues.
Like the what they do, the visual. I'm just like, oh my God, how? Like, guys, you know how insanely creative you have to be to blend adult content with children, with kid content. And make it entertaining for both of them.
Now it was even. I would say it was even easier back then. I want to say writers are still trying, right? But back then it was easier because parents. Because
everyone could take a joke.
Everyone could take a joke, first of all. but parents, they didn't have that problem of, you know, coming back and saying, "Where did you learn that from?" Right? They were sort of in control of the information their kid got. Like, they knew exactly what their kid was going to learn when they went to school. Your 5-year-old kid isn't going to come back and start asking you about body parts and all these funny questions, right? Now it just feels like everybody's exposing these things to kids much earlier than they're supposed to know them, right? So I think back then it was much easier for the writers to weave it. I'm like, I'm sure this kid doesn't even know anything about this whatsoever. It's not like you're teaching them these things in school. You know, now it's a bit different. So it's like, now I'm sure the kid is going to know about that joke, right? Seeing as it's a freaking subject in school now that people talk about. And parents, another thing is parents are much more comfortable having these open conversations with their kids.
So it's harder for these writers.
For these writers to weave it.
To weave through the hoops.
It's much harder because I understand your 6-year-old now knows everything about everything. Like, literally, I'm like, yo, how do you know about that? I'm pretty sure you're way too young to know that shit. So it's a bit of a dilemma. I think one.
Go on. I was just thinking about it. It's corruption.
It's corruption.
No, they corruption. Know how to corrupt this. They're trying to corrupt the system.
But that's the thing. It's still the parents casting it. It's like, especially for millennial parents, right? I want to believe they're not so sprung up on sugarcoating stuff. If a Gen Z walks up to his millennial parent and be like, "Is Santa Claus real?" The millennial might say no.
No, honestly, I don't think millennials have started experiencing parenting problems. I think we're just starting. It's just now that millennials are starting to experience. Like, the huge generational gap has been between Gen Z and Gen X. Gen X. Okay. That has been the huge gap. That's why the millennials are the ones in between trying to understand, trying to bridge the gap for these people, because we were in the previous generation and we are in the Gen Z generation. So to kind of make them understand that this is what is going on. Mm. But I don't really feel millennials have really started experiencing parenting problems yet.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some feedback already.
I mean, these kids are crazy. They are experiencing, yeah. But I don't. That's what I'm saying. Those kids are not Gen Z. The new problems that the millennials are experiencing with their kids. It's not Gen Z problems.
But again, you know how we mentioned the disconnect between Gen Z and Gen Alpha.
It's going to be less between
the gap between that generation is going to be so insignificant.
Because, like I said,
again, you guys are just watching recycled content. All the shows you watch, all the cartoons you watch. We saw the best. We saw the
OGs. We need to go to another country, another planet. Elon Musk figured it out. He's like,
Let's go.
We need to go to another planet. This one's done. Yeah. This one's done.
Yeah. Okay, no, but my point is, like, I would, like, if your kid asks you, is Santa Claus real? Like, your 5-year-old kid, now, like this, like, you don't tell him, say no, man, that's not scam.
It's not real.
It's almost like all those things, all those delusional bubbles we had set up for
there are some
that the millennials have scrapped. This is irrelevant.
There are many myths and, you know,
that will scrap when we're raising our own kids.
Millennials are completely going to get rid of it.
Exactly.
Don't believe in it one bit.
Yeah. So that's it. So the writers too have to also consider that, like, man, now that you guys have casted everything to your parents and to your kids and everybody knows,
we can't accept anybody.
Drop South Park. Because you can see that you people have lost your mind. You guys don't want to keep kids. You want your kids to grow up by force, Abi. South Park. You don't know. Yeah. Well, guys, if you believe you are part of The Last of Us, if you believe you are chosen to
represent
every and all generations. If those generational nuances, if they don't affect you, then
you're ready to go to war.
Wait. A war is about to start, so you have to be very careful.
Yeah, ready to go to war.
This is the podcast
There's already an existing war between generations. What are you talking about? There's always been there. It's even the Gen Z's that made the war public. Before it was hidden. Before it was hidden. Yes, now we're at war with our princesses, but it was hidden. Because, like I said, you know, we kind of understand the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just like, yeah, you know, we'll just, but these Gen Z's came out and like, no! This war, we're going to let everybody know.
It's like,
this war is. Yeah. Like, look, it's either our way or the highway.
Actually, think about it.
Different ideas.
So the boomers own the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Gen X probably own the infrastructure, like the buildings that are on this land and everything. Yeah. So the Gen X are paying rent to the boomers.
Mm.
Now that second layer of infrastructure, maybe like the fiber optic cables and everything, maybe you can start saying maybe the millennials started entering and say, okay, we're going to lay these cables. So we own the cables, right, for the fiber optics.
Yeah, we know.
You see what's been happening with MTN.
So, Bruno, basically, we...
So what do the Gen Z's own? I'm just saying, if the land has already been owned, the infrastructure has already been owned. So what's left for the Gen Z's? I'm just curious. Yeah, this is me spitballing. Because I do feel that's what it is. All the land is already owned by the boomers. The infrastructure split between Gen X and millennials.
The space above. Gen Z's can just...
Gen Z's Mars. It belongs to you guys.
No, but obviously there has to be somebody using all this shit now. It's like, you own the land, you own the building, I own the infrastructure. The millennials have the Gen Z's. We're the users of everything people have made.
Yeah. All right. No, but before I sign out, I'll just say, man, I think we still need to keep kids. It's very important, especially after seeing those cartoons. I'm just like, yo, kids shouldn't be knowing this at 5. There's some things. Let them be delusional. That's all I'm gonna say, man. It's too scary. That's all from me. Signing out, guys. Any last words?
what are you talking about? There's no last words. It's the beginning. It's the first word. This is the first word. The first of many. The first of many words. It's a war coming.
it would
involve people of all genders.
People of all genders.
People of all genders. No discrimination.
No discrimination. The Last of Us, people. The Last of Us.
All right.
All right, signing out, guys. Catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
Oh my.